All right, I'm going to let you out a little bit earlier tonight as a favor to my throat and so forth, but I did want to look to God's Word tonight. We're continuing in our series on the prayer life of the believer and our connection with Jesus Christ. In three different locations in John's writings, he makes the connection between abiding in Christ and prayer. He first makes it in chapter 14, which is the chapter before where we've been in chapter 15, where he makes that connection. Then he comes back to it again in John chapter 15. We looked last week at the early verses of I am the vine, ye are, and my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Or in the original language, the word is used for lifting up. Here's a vine. Instead of growing up on a trellis, it's laying down in the ground and in the dirt. And he lifts it up and he ties it up. He gets it up there so he can see if it's got the potential for producing fruit. So that's the first stage of that. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. That is, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word. And basically that word clean is the same word as prune. Why they translated it clean, we're not really sure, but said you've already been dressed. That's the idea. You've been pruned. You've been taken care of in this regard. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them up, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Very similar language to what we see in chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this connection with Jesus Christ produces the conduit by which we can communicate with him the desires of our heart. And I don't mean selfish desires, because we're also told that we're to pray according to God's will in the name of Jesus Christ. And so God's not going to do anything that goes against his Son. So we pray in Jesus' name. That's the idea. But there are two thoughts that I want to leave with you from verse 7. We've had this up on the screen now for several weeks. And I want you to see, first of all, in verses 6 through 8 here, 7 being the center aspect of it, there is a price for not abiding. Anybody see what the price is? Who can tell me? What is the price for not abiding according to these verses? Gathered up and cast into the fire, right? They're removed. There's a price. But there's also a product to those who do abide. There's a price for not abiding, and there's a product. There is fruit. There is growth. There is life that's involved with that. And so I want us to see these two things. If anyone does not abide in Jesus, he is cast out as a branch that is withered. Now we all know, and I'll give you an example, blueberries. I have blueberry bushes in my yard. I've been tending to them now for many, many years. And after one season, the big main trunk part generally dies. And so you go in and you purge out all the old big pieces each year, cut them down at the base, let the younger ones that came up during the season, let them grow up, and then they get bigger, and then they eventually die. So you're constantly pruning out that which is not producing, all right? It used to produce, it used to be alive, but then it died, and it's removed. That's kind of the picture that's given to us here. Jesus warns his disciples that failing to abide means that life failed. A branch only has life when it's connected to the stock, when it's linked to the stock. Something happens within a blueberry, it happens with vines, that over a period of time, that stock will basically be sealed off from the fluid or the food from the roots. It's a very odd thing. It gets up to a certain size and then it dies. Now, this is not teaching that you can lose your salvation. What it's saying there is that there are some that give the appearance of life, and really they don't have life. We've seen example after example throughout history of people who seem to be so strong and so good, then they just went off into left field and reneged and went against everything that the Bible said, turned away from it and said, what happened with them? They lost their salvation. No, they never had it to start with. Because you have to remember what our Lord said about the wheat and the tares. You don't go in and start pulling tares. That's where we get into trouble. Because you can't tell the difference between the two. Only the Lord is able to tell the difference between a wheat and a tare. They look very similar when they're growing up. And so we don't have the right. It's not our responsibility to go in and start ripping out. Now, that's a tare. I'm tearing that out, whatever. And there have been people that have tried to do that. And bless them. They're not the Holy Spirit of God. They're not Jesus. And what they do is they end up pulling up wheat with it. Because they're doing something that's not their job. You wait until harvest. You wait until harvest. That's when the fruit is seen. Oh, that's definitely a wheat. That's definitely a tare. And so the wheat is harvested, and then everything is cut down. Everything is destroyed at that particular point. Now, so there is a price for not abiding. Those who do not remain, those who are not connected to Jesus, there's an awful, awful price. They're gathered up and they're thrown into fire. The lifeless branch bears no fruit, and even its wood is good for nothing but burning. We have seen the eternal fire out here in Natalie Meadow. Just today, in Parentline, I'm getting doused with ash. You can just see it floating down out of the sky.
It's snowing!
No, it wasn't. It was ash coming down. My vehicle, bless Roger, he's had to clean our pool 1,000 times this year because the whole bottom be just covered with ash and stuff from the fire that's been going out here. I've had more people call me, when is the fire going to, like I know, when is the fire going to be done? I look out there and I see lots of trees and limbs. It's still going to go till that's all gone. But that fire, that burning, that wood used to be standing out there and you'd walk among the things. I've done that 1,000 times since I was a kid, walking through that woods. I used to work for Barbara and Joe, and I would ride my bike whenever I was in middle school, right through the woods. There was a trail that ended up in their backyard. And so I'd ride my bike. When I got a car, I drove my car through the woods. I went through it, several of us did, and cleaned out and made it a little bit wider, and I could get my little Maverick to go through there all the way back to their property. And I'd park in the back of their yard, work, and then I'd make my way back. So that wooded area over there, I have watched it from a child to 60 years old, what that looks like. They're all gone now, cleared out, and they're being burned, destroyed. They're worthless. At this point. Now, the second thing, and I'll close. The product. What's the product to those who do abide? We find here fruit, more fruit, much fruit. There's three levels. Fruit, more fruit, after what happens? Pruning, right? More fruit, and he desires much fruit. Who doesn't from a fruit tree? Who doesn't want more from their fruit tree? I watched in sadness as they cut down a tangelo tree next door to us. That for years and years was always loaded with tangelo every year. And she tended to that tree. She loved it dearly. And it died this past year. dead from the roots. The whole thing just went down. I guess it froze or something happened to it. So she went out there and she hired a guy to come out and chainsaw cut it down. And it's gone. And I remember every year you'd go out there and you'd just see just hundreds all up in the trees. It may have been a variation, a satsuma of some sort, but it always been able to survive the winters and everything, but it didn't survive that last one, and so it died. It's sad. When you expect fruit and then it's gone, something happens to it. Everybody wants more. Everybody wants more. The other day, Preston was over at the house, and he said, "Poppy, can I have some grapes?" I said, "Sure, go help yourself." Went in there, and my wife had been nibbling on them, and there was just a small little branch left with three little grapes on it. Kind of held it like it was pitiful looking, you know. It really was. You know, when you buy the big bag of them, boy, you pull it out, and it's just like a big old thing. This is what it looked like in Canaan whenever the men came out. Now, actually, they were much bigger than that. But anyway, and then whenever you finally get down to the end, and usually they're the piddliest looking things, are all shriveled up, and they just don't look very good. Poppy, you've got to go buy some more. I said, "That's not in my realm. You're going to have to talk to Mimi about that." "But I don't know if I want those." And I said, "I don't blame you. They look kind of rough looking." I said, "Go throw them away and maybe Mimi will go buy you some more." So the next day, he comes in the refrigerator looking. "Oh, Mimi didn't go get more. There's none in there." Now, disappointment, right? Disappointment. We get disappointed. How must our Lord feel when we don't produce the fruit that He desires for us to do because we're using all of our energy on ourselves when we should be using all of our energy for His glory and for His praise? So we're going to make the connection, Lord willing, next time between abiding in Christ and what we've been dealing with up here. What is it? Prayer. Your prayer life is linked to Christ. And your connection with Christ makes a difference in your prayer life. It makes a major difference. What was the disciples' prayer life compared to Jesus' prayer life? What, could you not watch for 1 hour? That's what our Lord said to our disciples. Well, that wasn't very complimentary. No, it wasn't, was it? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Remember our Lord was up on the hillside watching the disciples toil in the Sea of Galilee while He was praying there that whole time? And they're out there thinking that they're dying. Where is our Lord? And then He appears on the waves. Our prayer life will reflect what kind of connection we have with Jesus Christ. Whether it's a little spindly, little root, or if there's a full connection with our Lord. Makes a difference. And we're going to talk about that next time. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Lord, there is a price for not remaining in Jesus Christ. But there is a product that is produced by being in Christ, by remaining in Him, being connected to Him. And Lord, as we develop this, I pray that You'd open our hearts to understand and know that our prayer life is a reflection of how strongly connected we are with Jesus Christ. I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives. May we examine ourselves in the mirror of Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.